those searchlights up on the tower. Right now. Move, move.
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
Hello, I'm Herb and welcome to Community Spotlight. You're listening to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, your local community radio station. And this morning I have Kay Endres coming into the studio. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning, Herb.
So thanks for coming in. We're going to take a bit of a journey today and tell me, are you a local?
Well, I think I'm as local as you can get to Armidale. I'm fourth generation family. My family came here back in the 1800s, started businesses, and my grandfather had a delicatessen in town. And father took over the delicatessen and then sold it in the 80s. And, yeah, so fourth generation.
What was the deli called?
It was called Burgess's Delicatessen.
And where was that?
It was where St George Bank is now, in the mall. My grandfather started it. He had three brothers, all Burgess. He had a gifts and sports store in town. L.W. Burgess had the haberdashery store. And there was Burgess's Garage in Gyra.
And where did you go to school in Armidale?
I went to school, Demonstration School it was, which is City Public now, and then went to Armidale High School, which is a secondary college.
Did you enjoy your schooling?
I loved school. I absolutely loved it. I wasn't very academic, but I was pretty good at sport. So every Wednesday I made sure at Armidale High I was on that minibus doing some sort of sport out and about.
Now, we've got a bit of a connection through my wife. You might mention what that might be.
Yeah, Herb, I did a TAFE course, actually. When TAFE, we could do sewing, we could do pottery. Yeah, and I met Herb's wife at a sewing course at TAFE.
And I still remember the little denim pants, jacket and shirt that she'd made at that TAFE course for our little snowy-headed boy running around the backyard. And I think we also looked after one of your children.
You did. Ben was amazing. I used to drop little Sarah, our second child, off, and she would open her arms up and then Sarah would run into her arms. And, yeah, we had a really nice couple of years connection together with kids.
And you married in Armidale?
Yes, I married my childhood sweetheart. We went right through Armidale High School together. And his name is Graham. We've been married a long time now. We got married in our 20s. And went off to have three children as well.
Now, those children, now you told me off air that they went off and trained and now they're back again.
Yeah, that's right. So three children, two girls and a boy. Amy, our eldest, she went off and became a nanny up in northern Queensland, pursued a career in nursing and came back and married, and she's got three children now, three beautiful children. Our Sarah, our second daughter, she went off to Sydney to the Big Smoke, did a tourism and management degree course, worked at a big five-star hotel, but decided she wanted to come back to Armidale and study to be a teacher. So she bought her partner and the dog and came and lived with us for 2 years. And then she's married now with two beautiful children. And then Charlie, our youngest, went off to school at Farah and said to us, Mum and Dad, I want to go up north. So we went up north to the Gulf of Carpentaria, worked up there for 10 years as a heli master, and he's moved back in the last 2 years and is married and living at Nyangla, actually, on his wife's family farm. And he flies choppers and fixed-wing planes around the district.
Wow, that's pretty a pretty extensive resume for three kids. But they're all back around Armidale now, which is great, surrounded by family. And your husband had a glass business at one time, and I think he actually fitted our bay windows out at Kelly's Plains.
Yes, that's right, he did. He actually had two glass businesses. He started New England Glass and sold that off, and then bought Lockman Doors and Glass and sold that off to Dean Waters, a lovely young fellow, and now is pursuing his career in still building, but also works for CareFlight as a driver for CareFlight. So he has done a lot of building in town. You see a lot of his work around, glass work around. So
very good. So tell me about your training that you might have done in Armidale and some of your work.
I went off. My father said to me, Kay, you either get a job in a bank or you become a dental assistant. I was never going to go to university. As I said before, I wasn't that academic. So I got a job in the old CBA bank here in town, worked for 2 years, and one of the clients was the owners of New England Travel. He came to me one day and he said, Kay, do you know anyone that would like to work with us as a bookkeeper? And I thought to myself, here's my chance to get out of the bank and work in something I love to do, to travel. So off I went. He said to me, can you type? And I said, oh, absolutely. I can type 40 words a minute on the old typewriter. I couldn't type to save myself. I went out, I hired a typewriter back in those days in the 80s, and I learned how to type. I since got the job and went off, and about 6 months later, Graham Walls, who was the owner, and Ross Fraser, who many would still know, Graham said to me, Kay, you couldn't type when you got this job. And I thought, no, I couldn't, but I wanted it really badly.
So just go back a step. Now, the bank, that was the CBA bank, which is now Boo Book, turned into Boo Book's bookshop. But you went to school with somebody that was quite interesting.
I did. I went right through Armidale High School with now the governor of the Reserve Bank. Her name was Michelle Droop, her maiden name, now Michelle Bullock. She was, and still is, a really good mate of mine, and we were a very, very close year group, and we all still remain very good friends. I only was speaking to her last night, actually.
Fantastic. So let's go back to the travel, New England Travel. Tell us more about that. Maybe the TAFE, you toured
yeah.
TAFE.
So I started my career when I was 21 in travel. It was the old-fashioned days of no computers. We had telex machines every night. We used to have to send hotels around the world telegrams asking for accommodation. We had a book that we used to work out of. As I said, there was no computers, and it was called the OAG, the Official Airline Guide. We'd look up where the flights went all over the world, and then we'd have to write out the tickets. The basic training that I did really set me up for a wonderful career in travel, but I then went off after 6 years, and I had my three children. Armidale TAFE actually asked me to come and teach. So I taught there while my children were only little. I used to teach at night time, and I taught a tourism course at TAFE. Actually went back when Charlie turned six, my youngest, back at school. So I used to work from 9 till 3, 5 days a week, and I thought, how am I ever going to work 5 days a week? I taught TAFE for about 6 years. I actually implemented a lot of the modules that are still being taught today. It was really rewarding. It was great to see people come through and start working in the industry all across Australia.
So we might move on to another part. Now, when you do a bit of a Google search, Mr. Google's a wonderful thing, you type up Kay Endres and you immediately come up with Tour de Rocks. So can you tell me what Tour de Rocks is, but go back to the original start of it all?
In 2010, a very, very good family friend came, and he was 16 years old. His name was Jonathan Wheeler. And he said, Kay, I've got to organise an event, and I thought we might ride some push bikes from Armidale to Southwest Rocks. Would you be interested? Would you and Charlie be interested, actually? And I said, oh, yeah, I'd give it a go. Now, I hadn't been on a push bike since I was about 12, when we all used to ride to school. So there was 12 of us. Off we went with a horse float, 6 bikes. Down the hill we went. It was the most amazing thing. We walked a lot. We went over 3 days. Anyway, so he got his Gold Duke of Edinburgh Award. And then in 2012, we got together and thought, we could do this as a community event, and we thought we could raise a little bit of money along the way. And I thought to myself, who in their right mind would ride from Armidale to Southwest Rocks? Well, the first year we got 250 people, and we raised
$150,000. $150,000 in 2012 you raised?
That's right. Yeah, we did. And we set a model out that you could ride your push bike, but you had to have a supporter. So we put people in teams. We created the event. To this day, it's still the same model that we used in 2012, and each year we've raised more and more money.
So I don't know how your memory is, Kay, but let's go from 2012, $150,000. Let's go to 2013.
So 2012, you know, it was a success. Everyone patted themselves on the back, and then we thought, we've got to back this up now in 2013. So off we went again. You know, we begged, borrowed and stole things from people. You know, oh, have you got a truck? Have we need a water truck? I mean, takes a lot of water to hydrate everybody. You know, we went to the local suppliers and things, you know, oh, can we have some toilets to take with us? And along the way, there was a lot of funny things that happened. You know, the first night we used to stay at George's Junction, went down there, set up the big marquee that we had, all went to bed that night, and the cows got in and ate all our food. So that was a little bit of a drama the next day when we didn't have enough food. But again, off we went to Kempsey, made it work, and we fed everybody. And off on their bikes they went. Yeah, so that was in 2014, the cows got in. So each year we've had someone got bitten by a bull rout. That was 2016. We had to get the Westpac helicopter to land. Anyway, the little fella went to Armidale, came back down the next day, got on his bike, and off he went again. So things like that. The journey has been amazing. People have followed it. What I've realised now, this is our 11th year. We had 2 years off with COVID. We just couldn't run it. It was too risky. But what I've realised now is people have come to us now. They're asking us, what can I do? How can I help? When we first started it, it was like, oh, my gosh, how are we going to do this? So it's a great model. It works, and people get a lot of satisfaction out of it.
So tell me, how much have you raised? So two things. How much have you raised today? Let's say before COVID, a combined total, and where's all the money go?
So pre-COVID, we raised close to $2 million, $1.9 million. The money stays in our local areas. It all goes to the cause. So it all goes to research, prevention and cure of cancer. We don't deviate from that. We've got an appropriations committee that give out the money, and they're very, very strict, and the criteria that you have to match has to be under those guidelines.
And this is all riding a push bike, the same model from Armidale to Southwest Rocks. Hasn't changed.
The only thing that has changed is the route, because, as we know, the old Kempsey Road now is shut. They won't let us on there. We could ride a push bike on there, no problem, but it's getting all the infrastructure, the trucks down there. So we had to redesign the course 2 years, 3 years ago, just out of COVID, and we decided 3 weeks to do it. They pulled it on us 3 weeks before. So we went through up to Woolloomumbe, then we went out to the back of Ebor and rode back from Ebor down to Armidale. We did that for 2 years. But then we decided we've got to go back to the coast again. People love to come from the tablelands to the coast. It's a really big achievement.
So let's start from post-COVID. When did you start? Was it 2022 or 23?
2023. We made that our 10th year because we've missed out on the two rides. And that was when we had our last year going back, Armidale, Woolloomumbe, Ebor, Gyra. That was last year, our 2010 ride. So this year we decided Armidale to Woolgoolga is the way we went this year.
So did you find the first year back after the COVID you had less or more people involved and less or more money?
Yeah, great question. We actually had more people. More people wanted to get out. They wanted to be in the fresh air again. They wanted to be with people. So we found we had more. We had 400 riders and supporters. And that year we made $320,000.
Fantastic. Now tell me cancer. So cancer has affected many people in the community. Has cancer affected you recently or at some time?
Yes, both my mother and father have had cancer. They're survivors. A really, really good mate of mine died when she was 21. She died of pancreatic cancer. And I said to her, Brownie, we'll help this through. So that's what we did.
So I think that's the thing with cancer. It's indiscriminate. It affects many people out in the community. And it's just fantastic that this one event that's been developed by community members here. You're not looking for government to actually come in and solve the cancer problem. You're actually trying to solve the problem yourself, which is very admirable.
Well, exactly. There's not 1 cent is government. It's all raised in our community. We have got another great community on board with the Central Coast. They bring up a great team of about 50 people, Coastal Cruisers, and we also have another great team from COFs and surrounding areas. But it's growing. You know, we had a team this year from Port Macquarie. We had people from Noosa. We had people from Melbourne. So the word's getting out there now. They want to be part of it.
So this is going to be a bit of a scoop for the community. Last night, I think you had a meeting. So you had an event. So let's talk about, so we talked about post-COVID, and you've had one event, which is this last event, just recently. Tell me about that event. Try and walk me through what that was, event, how many numbers, and then you can drop the bombshell of how much you raised.
So we, as I said, we decided to go back to the coast. So we did Armidale to Woolgoolga. So when I say that, it's like, oh, okay, well, everybody can just get on their bikes. And we went Armidale to Ebor. We stayed the first night at Ebor. We camped around the Ebor pub. Then the second night, we went down to a little town at the bottom of the hill called Yulong, and we camped in their showground. And then the third day, we went on to Woolgoolga, and we finished it off at the headland at Woolgoolga, which was amazing. But, you know, to get that up and running, we have to put in police traffic management plans. You know, we have to tell every council. There was 4 councils in this year's ride. Usually there's only 2. Usually there was Kempsey and Armidale. So it was a huge mammoth effort this year to get it out there. But we actually got 400 riders and 100 supporters come along with us. So it is one of our biggest rides we've ever had. So logistically, you feed 500 people in a paddock. It's pretty hard. We take everything with us. We take all the infrastructure. We take toilets. We take trucks. The first night, we feed everybody a baked dinner. The second night, we have amazing beef stroganoffs, you know, desserts. You cannot lose weight on this tour because the food is so amazing with our amazing catering team.
So just on that point, where's all the catering come from?
So the catering all comes from local communities. We make sure we stay locally. We never get anything from out of town. We ask all the suppliers in Armidale. So, yeah, all local.
Fantastic. Locals feeding locals to raise money for the cancer cause, which is fantastic. So are we ready to drop the bombshell? So you've got 500 people this year on the ride, did the ride, 400 riders and 100 support crew, fed with all the fettle from all over the local community. How much did you raise?
So, Herb, we raised $372,000 this year. It's our biggest one.
So, yeah, the year before, I think it was $3,000.
It was
$300,000.
Yeah, so it was $340,000 last year, but this year's $372,000.
So that's a bit of a bombshell, and it's just going from strength to strength. So what's planned for next year?
So next year, yes, we'll do the same route. We'll go Armidale to Woolgoolga again. We won't change it. Our date ride for next year is the 24th to the 26th of April, and we'll have an Anzac service at Ebor.
So how do people get involved in Tour de Rocks?
We'd love people to come and get involved. We'd love the riders. Go onto our website, tourderocks.com.au. You can register. Not yet. We've only just put 2024 to bed. We start appropriating the money from here on in. So people can come to us and ask for money. It has to be cancer related. We don't give money out to a government source. So we make sure that it all goes to the source, all goes to the cure of cancer and research.
So there's a few ways people can get involved, and you correct me if I'm wrong. So you can actually contribute some funds to the cause by going to the Tour de Rocks webpage and pledging. I'm assuming it's a pledge.
That's right.
So, and then you mentioned collecting the money after the ride.
Yeah.
So you'll get the money. So you pledge your money for cancer, or you can become a rider. So how do you become a rider or a support person? Let's say you want to, let's say you don't want to ride, or tell me the both.
You know? Okay. So, yeah, if you don't want to ride, you can come and support. We need supporters. They're, that is the whole crux of the tour, the ride. We don't have the supporters. We don't have anything because we need those people. So you can come along, you go on, you register. In a couple of months' time, we'll have the registrations up. Register as a supporter, you come along, pay your money, and, yeah, we'll give you a job. And it's a fun journey, a really fun journey. Riding the bike is the easy part. You just have to start training a few months beforehand and make sure you can do 100 Ks in a day, which sounds a lot, and, yes, it is hard, and there's a lot of hills out there, but if you do the training, you can do the ride.
So that sort of raises a question for me. Is electric bikes able to go on the Tour de Rocks?
Absolutely. What we did this year, we've accommodated electric bikes. We had charging stations at morning tea and lunch and at night time. Yes, so there is more and more coming along, and, yes, we want people to get out there on their push bikes, whether it's an electric one, whether it's got just two wheels, it doesn't matter. You've got any, we accommodate for everything.
So I think I did say to you before, anything that I've been involved in that's been going for longer than 10 years has longevity. It proves that it's longevity. Mm. It proves that the model works. So you've got a model that works through the time back to 2012, I suppose. Mm-hmm. You've got a model that works. You're raising money for a community cancer research and support. People can actually come in and be supporters and, like, volunteers and help with the rides, which is a critical part of any non-profit community-type organisation. You need those people to come in and help. So you've got the model and you've got the people. Now, do you think Armidale, by having this regular annual Tour de France, is Armidale becoming a more cycling focused area, and also the electric bikes have come on board? How do you see the community and bicycles?
Look, when we started the ride in 2012, like the community ride, is there was one bike shop in Armidale. Now there's two bike shops in Armidale, and they're both extremely busy. So that just goes to show you the bikes, you know, people out there in the community want. The, you know, there's so much scope for people on push bikes. Yes, you know, we do get bagged out on the road sometimes, you know. People don't like overtaking push bike riders and things like that, but it is such a good way to keep fit and keep healthy. So, yeah, there's definitely room and to grow.
So not only grow with Tour de Rocks and just keep adding to that number of people that are getting involved, both supporters and volunteers, the money that's raised for the research in cancer. Now, one thing you did mention that we didn't explore is, can people come for finances to assist with their personal cancer, or is it an organisation?
We don't give to an individual. That has been right from the start. We can't be deemed to be doing that. But what we do is we give money to Can Assist, and Can Assist is the organisation that works out who the individuals, you know, what the people need. So we channel the funds through Can Assist. We also channel the funds through the Wig Library we've given money to, you know, to make sure that people feel good about, you know, looking good. When you've got cancer, a lot of things can affect you, and one of them is when you lose your hair, you know, that makes a huge difference to a lot of people.
So let's go back to bicycles, Armidale, our community. What other opportunities are there for bicycles and get people out in the outdoors? Mm-hmm. What do you see the future of Armidale community and our bicycle fraternity?
Well, of course you're all going to know I'm going to say the rail trail. You know, the rail trail is just a hidden gem in this town. We've proved that you get people on push bikes and they love it. You know, 500 people out there this year. If we can get that rail trail up and running here and get those people, we can get so many more people from out of this community, get the people, the tourism dollars in this town, and we can revitalise this town. It is an amazing community we live in. We've proved that with, you know, we've got something very unique here in Armidale, that we have got community. So to put the rail trail up there and out there, like, it would just be gold.
Well, I agree totally. And we've spoken to people like John Gallatly, one of the councillors here, and he's very supportive, and I'm very supportive of the Jimmerick Dam project and possibly having a branch line from the rail trail to Jimmerick Dam would be another added advantage. But you also mentioned before about riding on the road. You know, it's a little bit of a worry at times. I know I ride with a fluoro vest on, and I haven't had any problems on my push bike. It was my motorbike that was probably the problem. But being on the rail trail, you're away from the traffic.
Oh, absolutely. Look, in February this year, a group of us, 10 of us, went over to New Zealand and we rode the Otago Rail Trail. Now, I haven't ridden a rail trail before. You know, I've ridden on the roads. I don't like riding on the roads. It is dangerous. You know, there's a lot of cars out there. Tour de Rock's number one thing, Herb, is we have to keep people safe, you know, and that's a big responsibility for us. But the Otago Rail Trail, we got on those push bikes and we did it over 3 days. It was one of the best things I have ever done. Now, me being in travel, I've done a lot of things in my 40 years travel life, a lot of extensive overseas trips, but the New Zealand Rail Trail was one of the best things I've ever done.
So just tell me, the rail trail, did you have to take your own bikes over there, your own push bikes, or you just rent them to do the trail?
Oh, no. It was so well organised. Organisations over there, you know, businesses, you go over there, they fit your bike out, they tell you, you know, they give you maps and things like that, where to stop. You pre-book your accommodation before you go. We stayed in a little pub. We stayed in an old postmaster's house. We went to the local pubs. You know, we spent money in the coffee shops. It just is just incredible what the scope of businesses that could come on and be on a rail trail.
Well, I think you've just hit the nail on the head, which I sort of hadn't thought about very much, is that you've got a model in Tour de Rocks that works, getting people involved, raising money, bicycle riding. That model works, and you've demonstrated that over more than 10 years. You've got the rail trail, the Otago rail trail, and there's all these businesses that have been created just because the rail trail there, the bicycle fit out, the maps, the B&Bs, all the things have been created when there was nothing prior, created because of that rail trail that came in. So there's nothing to say that the same thing wouldn't happen when the rail trail gets up and running from here to Jimmerick Platform.
Oh, absolutely. Look, and, you know, the Otago Rail Trail, just to sort of put geographically, sorry, where it is, it's an hour out of Queenstown. So it's cold. We were there in February and it snowed on the second day we were out there. So you can't use the weather as an excuse. You can't use the temperature. The New England climate is the perfect place to have it. You rug up, you ride your push bike out there, and those businesses, those little towns over in Otago, it's an area like the New England, those towns were dead. There was nothing there. They shut, you know, the post office was shut. The pubs were all shut. You know, these were working little communities, whereas now they're back up and running, and thousands of people do these rail trails, and especially the Otago rail trail, and scenery was incredible. New England scenery is incredible. We have exactly the same thing here as what Otago in New Zealand have.
Well, I think on that note, we might wind it up, Kay. Thanks for coming in. I just think it's phenomenal that you and your people from Tour de Rocks, of what they've done and what they're doing and what they'll do into the future under the model that has been demonstrated as being successful. So just again, last year, or this current year, 500 people, 400 riders, 100 support crew, raised
$372,000.
And now that's all going back into the community, local community, for cancer assistance and research.
That's right.
Just on the research, just a final thing I want to ask is where is the research dollars go?
Great question. So we actually have a partnership with Tour de Cure. Tour de Cure is a big organisation, and they run major pushbike rides from capital city to capital city. So we've got on board with them, and we give Tour de Cure, in the last 10 years, we've given them $100,000 every year. We pick two projects, two research projects, and they match it dollar for dollar. So $200,000 goes into those research projects. So at the moment, there's a couple of really groundbreaking things happening in those research projects. Those researchers, if they don't get that money, they have to shut those research projects down. So they could have been going for 5 years, 10 years, and if the money and the funding stops, that research stops. So it's so important that we keep giving the money to the researchers. Just on one last note, we also run a walk, and it's called Anya's Wish, and it's under Tour de Rox' umbrella. Anya's Wish, it's been going for the last 3 years. It's 19 for 19, it's called. It's 19-kilometre walk. We've put research in funding money into that, and it's called 19 for 19, and they're just about to break through something that's going to be absolutely amazing for the cancer research, and we're up to about $700,000 with that walk in the last 3 years, what we've given them. So watch this space. It'll be mind-blowing, and it'll be national.
So you mentioned Anya's Wish. Tell me why the name Anya's Wish?
There was a lovely young girl in Armidale, a family here, Liz Egan and her beautiful children, Anya, and she died 3 years ago now. Anya, and her dying wish, she had osteosarcoma. Her dying wish to her mum was, "Mum, you have to help find a cure for this horrible disease." The research hasn't changed. All her treatment hadn't changed for the last 15 years. There was no money put into the osteosarcoma for children. So that's where the money's been going to, and in the last 3 years it's just growing from strength to strength.
And where is the walk? And obviously you can get involved in the walk through the Tour de Rox webpage. Where's the walk?
So the last 3 years we've had it at a property out near Blue Hole, the coffee property. They gave us 3 years. This year we're out searching for another property where we can walk 19 kilometres with spectacular views. Again, in New England, everywhere says spectacular view. But we've got a couple of properties in mind. So, yeah, it'll be a different walk this year. But again, we have about 400 people come on that walk.
When we get the rail trail up and running, it's about almost 19 kilometres. Would then you consider the walk along the rail trail?
Oh, absolutely we would. We could even run another event. Who knows where this could take us, but absolutely.
Well, there's been a wealth not only in generated by your Tour de Rox and the bicycle riding, but there's been a wealth of information you've given our community and contributed to our community, Kay, I must say. You're certainly, you and your people, I won't just say you, but you and your people, but I do mean you, you're a gem in our community, and thanks for your contribution over all these years. And to the Tour de Rox crew, I wish them all the well, and I'm sure they'll just go from strength to strength as they have. Thanks very much to being on Community Spotlight this morning.
Thanks, Herb. Thanks for having me.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM 92.1 FM in the car and at work for great tunes and community news.